Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Average Joe for Average Joe Radio. It's 6:30 Eastern Standard Time here in, but I'm actually in Austin, Texas today. So I'm really not, but I'm going to say I am all day. So all through the show, I'm going to say all the way from Austin, Texas. I'm just out listening to some good blues and checking out all the art and there's lots of art and music in Austin. So that's where I am today in my mind. This is the 49th show of Average Joe, and I appreciate everybody that's been listening, everybody that's been listening to me live, everybody that's been calling in, everybody that's, given me encouragement and given me subject matter and even criticism. Constructive criticism. I appreciate that. It's always good to have feedback. So, album of the week. We're going to get right into this, and then we'll get into our subject of the day. Album of the week, Harry Nilsson, Son of Dracula, 1974 came out. That's somewhat obscure to a mainstream audience, but I don't think my audience is very mainstream, so congratulations. You guys won. Harry Nilsson, if you don't know who Harry Nilsson is, he's probably his biggest claim to fame as far as music goes was the song Without You. I can't live if living is without you. Hart re-recorded that later, but the original was Harry Nilsson, and he liked to hang out with the Beatles. He hung out with some cool guys and did quite a few albums, but one of my favorites, Son of Dracula, it was actually a movie soundtrack, 1974. So anyway, we're still getting in. We're still trickling in some nominations for Album of the Month. And actually, this is the last show before the end of the month, but we're not going to announce the winner just yet because I want to give you guys some more time. AverageJO@carolina.rr.com if you want to send me a nomination. So we'll have some more late bloomers coming in just to, make sure we have a good mixed bag. If you want to call in, 914-219-0884. This day in history, I was going to do a really bad impression of Howard Cosell. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like I'm doing it anyway. This day in history, in 1967, Muhammad Ali refuses the army induction. Okay, there's enough of that. So that's 1967, Muhammad Ali. He was a boxing champion, refused to be inducted into the U.S. Army, and is immediately stripped of his heavyweight title. Ali, a Muslim, cited religious reasons for his decision to forego military service. He was born Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. in Louisville, Kentucky, on January 14, 1942. The future three-time world champ changed his name to Muhammad Ali in 1964 after converting to Islam. He scored a gold medal at the 1960 Olympic Games in Rome and made his professional boxing debut against Tunney Hoosacker on October 29, 1960, winning the bout in six rounds. On February 25, 1964, he defeated the heavily favored bruiser Sonny Liston in six rounds to become the heavyweight champ. On April 28, 1967, with the United States at war in Vietnam, Ali refused to be inducted into the armed force, saying, "I ain't got no quarrel with those Viet Cong." And on June 20, 1967, he was convicted of draft evasion, sentenced to 5 years in prison. He was fined $10,000 and banned from boxing for 3 years. He stayed out of prison as his case was appealed and returned to the ring on October 26, 1970, knocking out Jerry Quarry in Atlanta in the third round. On March 8, 1971, Ali fought Joe Frazier in the fight of the century and lost after 15 rounds. That was the first loss of his professional boxing career. On June 28th of that same year, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned his conviction for evading the draft. So it's funny, I've never been, like a big sports fan of any kind and never really followed boxing. But back in the 70s, there was always, Muhammad Ali was more, he was just all over the place. He was in TV shows, like my bad impersonation of Howard Cosell was interviewing him, and there was kind of a lot of impersonators or impressionists like to do Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. Billy Crystal, that was one of his claim to fame gigs. So anyway, today we are going to talk about then and now. Sounds kind of like a Pink Floyd song. The number to call in is 914-219-0884. This is something that's kind of been, it's something that I've thought about, especially in the last 20 or 30 years, but especially in the last 20, just the things that our modern society takes takes for granted. And I think that people that are in my generation are probably the last of the generations that will remember, because of our parents and our grandparents, kind of the contrast between, say 75 years ago compared to now, and the things that we take for granted. And I know, even though I know how it was, never had to live through it as bad as my parents and grandparents did, but I still know firsthand what they went through, and I also have experienced some of it because technology and a lot of things have come a long way in just my lifetime. The first thing I have to, one of the first things that always comes to my mind is indoor plumbing. I remember as a kid, my granddaddy, out behind the barn or beside the barn, there was an outhouse. They called it the Johnny House. They did not have a bathroom in the house. They had what's called a slop jar, which was basically a pot to piss in, as it were. And that was what you used, during the night, if you didn't want to go out in the cold and, or just out in the night in general to, worry about snakes or bugs or whatever, putting your butt in the outhouse. Because looking down in that pit, I was like, golly, we just don't know how good we've got it just having a modern toilet to use. I'm telling you that there's a lot of things I could do without, and I could do without a toilet if I had to, but boy, I am so grateful that technology is something that we have now. Indoor plumbing, and not necessarily specifically toilets, but just indoor plumbing in general, didn't really start to become common in American households until about the 30s. So that was about the time of the Great Depression. So, shortly thereafter, I think 1927 was the start, was when the stock market fell out. And so people were really conservative and still hurting. My dad was born in 1928, so he was right in the middle of it. My mom was born in 31. My granddaddy was born in 1895 or 6, I believe. And my grandmother was born in 1900. So they were all, mom and dad were little kids. But anyway, indoor plumbing, as a matter of fact, my mother's mother, until the day she died in the 1980s, never had a toilet in her house. Now, she did have a sink and a spigot in the kitchen, and that was used for washing dishes. It was used for running water to take baths. It was used for You'd have to take the water and put it on the stove and heat it up to take a bath. And it was also used for running water to do laundry. I mean, they just all out from that one little spigot. And then my grandfather's house on the other side, on my daddy's side, it was also basically the same. Up until, I remember, around 1972. And I remember that because I had to research the septic tank system because I had my above average Joe and I actually put a house there. And so we ended up using the same septic system. But anyway, they put in a septic tank around 1972, and they did actually have what we call a half bath, which was just a toilet and a sink. And then they also installed a hot water heater, so they were upgraded to, they actually had an automatic washing machine after they got the hot water heater, because up until then they used one of those old Ringer washing machines. Here it is 10 minutes into the show, and I've been talking about just plumbing, so we got a lot to talk about. So I'll move on. Toilet paper. Think about that one for a minute. I'm starting with the very basics here. Toilet paper in the United States was patented in the U.S. in 1891, but it was actually invented by the Chinese in the 14th century. But it was available around the United States in the 1920s. But you know, again, from stories from my mom and dad and my grandparents, they didn't have toilet paper. They had corn cobs. They had leaves. They had the Sears catalog. So I don't know when they started using toilet paper on a regular basis, but I'm here to tell you, I like my Scott tissue. That's kind of funny. Speaking of Scott tissue, Mr. Scott is wanting to talk. I think he's an authority on Scott tissue. I'm going to go ahead and put him on. Let's see here. Mr. Scott,
hey,
are
guys.
You there?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
First of all, we're talking toilet paper.
Quite cool. In the interest of full disclosure, my battery's about to die on the cordless here at the house. So what could be more organic than having a dying cordless at the house?
We'll take what we can get.
Cool. First of all, thank you for mentioning the Louisville lip of Cassius Clay, or however he's known.
Yeah.
I love that iteration. He's a Louisville lip. He told it like it was.
Yeah.
Also, quickly, before my battery dies, when you know where I'm from, the old country, Gaston County, we had ancestors up here on Highway 18 between Lenoir and Wilkesboro, which was Boomer, the town of Boomer. We went there for a family reunion at one time, and they had an outhouse, which was a double holler, double seater. I had never seen one of those.
Uptown.
Oh, it was, man. But I was just so blown away by it. That's the only takeaway any of my people have from that reunion. It was a fact I kept trying to drag all my people down there to see that. It was a high processing double seater. And I thought that was just uptown.
Well, that's the way to really bond is if you go to the outhouse, you know, with somebody and you sit there and you can have a real nice discussion and
I would guess.
Hold your nose and
trying to get my 6 or 10 year old brain around it and they would just tell me, oh, that's a good one. That's a cool one. Kind of like the Romans and Greeks and stuff did. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, I didn't mean to cut in, but man, the Chinese invention of toilet paper, I did not know that's who did that. That's a good thing, too.
Well, I didn't either until I researched it, and, I knew that there had been, it had been around for a while, but really people, especially out in the country, you know, from where my family comes from, they didn't have toilet paper. You know, like I said, they used corn cobs and leaves and
Sears
and
Roebuck
catalog.
And,
yeah. So I don't know when... Yeah, I don't know when it became a commonality to have toilet paper, you know, but I like my toilet paper.
That's one of the creature comforts I feel, is granted to us, but you're right. That's only been a recent innovation.
Yeah, don't. You can take my cell phone, just don't take my toilet paper.
That's exactly right. Well, brother, let me let you go. Get back to it so I can monitor the rest of this. I'll be trying to
read
the bell.
All right, listen as long as
nursing,
you can.
Nursing this NICAD into the ground. And
okay.
Press on, do what you do, man.
We appreciate it, Mr. Scott. We'll talk at you next time.
Cool, brother. Press on.
All right. Thank you there, Mr. Scott. That was hilarious. And actually, Scott, he's actually in Istanbul, Turkey today. He gets around. Last week he was in Tel Aviv. Today he's in Istanbul, Turkey. He's doing some the word went right out of my head. Anyway, he's doing some work for the good. All right. So, toilet paper. I got to move on. Electricity. So, to give you some perspective on electricity, having wiring in your home just to have electric lights. I mean, when it first started out, really, that's about what most people had was just for light bulbs. And around 1925, half of the homes in the United States had electricity. Now, I don't know if my grandparents had electricity that soon, because I do remember my mom and dad and my grandparents talking about having kerosene lamps to light at night, and they didn't have an electric refrigerator because they would put their milk and butter and all that good stuff. They'd put it in the spring, not the season, but the running water down in the woods to keep it cool. So electricity, that one's a huge one. We couldn't have a lot of the other stuff that I'm about to mention if we didn't first have electricity. Here's a big one, and I'm enjoying it right now. I finally gave in and turned it on today, air conditioning. It was actually invented in 1902 by Willis Havilon Carrier. So Carrier Air Conditioning and Heat and Air Systems are still around. They actually are the ones that invented air conditioning. So far as when it became a commonality in households, window units, that you can still buy today were fairly common in the post-war, after World War II in the 1950s. But it was kind of a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing, It was like, oh boy, we got an air conditioner. And they were huge, and they used lots of power, for what you got out of them. And then in the 1970s, central air became a fairly common thing. And I do remember one of the new houses that we moved into, my dad being a minister, we did get the privilege of living in a few new houses, living in the church's pastorium. We moved into a house in 1971, and it had central air. Now, talk about uptown. That was awesome. Having never had air conditioning before that, I was about, 9 years old. And so I had plenty of nights that I remember going to bed with the window fan going full blast and sweating on the sheets. And, that's just the way it was. I never knew any better. And see, most people are the kids today, they don't know what that's like to sleep in a hot room with no air conditioning. Now, I'm not saying some don't, but most don't. Television. Now, we talked about television. We had actually an Average Joe episode. And by the way, the call-in number is 914-219-0884 if you want to call in and comment or whatever. We talked about television. Television itself was invented in 1927, Philo Farnsworth. Invented television officially. But before 1947, you could count the number of televisions in a home in the thousands. So there weren't that many. Again, it was kind of a post-war luxury at the time, and even if you had a television, and depending on where you live, you wouldn't be able to pick anything up. So it really didn't do you any good unless you lived close enough to a broadcast, station. To actually pick up some content. Now, when I was a kid living down in Brunswick County, We had three stations. We had an ABC channel, an NBC channel, and a PBS channel. And the PBS and the NBC weren't that great as far as the quality, because not the quality of the programming, but the quality of the broadcast, because we were so far away or just in a bad spot. Now, not only do we have good, we've got digital television, but well, let me say this first. In the late 1990s, the numbers were 98% of every home had at least one television. Cable TV was invented in 1948. It expanded into major cities in the 60s and 70s. And we had, you know, we talked about that some on another episode. And now we have, not only do we have cable, but we've got, you know, we have ways to record. You know, VCRs came out in the 80s. Well, that could have been late 70s, I guess, late 70s, early 80s. But now we've got DVD, Blu-ray that you can rent. Some people have satellite service, and then a lot of people use streaming now. Most people that have internet service, you know, do a lot of streaming, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, all those different streaming services. So now, and television really is kind of a luxury if you think about it, because it's just entertainment essentially. But it is, you know, the information you get from it's good too. So microwaves. The microwave was invented in 1946, and I did not realize that it was invented so early. It was actually based on radar technology, again, post-war. I tell you, the war does a lot for technology. You know, war is a horrible thing, but it does produce technology, typically. Sharp introduced a turntable model in 1964. Now, I don't remember ever hearing about a microwave until probably restaurants and things like that used them. But I never even heard of a microwave until probably the 70s, late 70s. And I think the first time I ever owned one was in the early 90s. So that wasn't that long ago. All right, telephone. Now, this is not even talking about mobile phones. As most of you know, telephone was invented in 1876 by none other than Alexander Graham Bell himself. But believe it or not, by 1905, there was 2.2 million telephones in the United States. I never would have thunk that. That's pretty amazing. Now, I don't know how many households there were in 1905, but still the fact that there was 2.2 million. And I know, pretty sure my grandma, my grandmother, and my grandfather never had a phone until probably up in maybe in the 50s, maybe. I don't know that for sure. We always had a telephone, but, you know, I wasn't born until 62. So, but the telephone was a party line. So you could pick up the phone and you might hear your neighbor talking on the phone, and you had to wait till they got done before you could make your call. Music in the home. Now, I talked about television. My dad always talked about, you know, they never had a television when he was a kid, but they did have a radio, and the radio actually ran on batteries, and he would listen to shows like The Lone Ranger and, let's see, what else? Gosh, I can't even remember. I think Batman, some other shows that were on the radio back then. But so far as music in the home, it was mostly, you know, either on the radio, they might, you know, be able to hear some music if they had a radio, and then there was the RCA Victor crank up, you know, record player thingies, but they didn't. Not a lot of people had those. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know I don't believe my grandfather, grandmother, and grandmother ever had that. I don't think. So most of the music they had was probably either, I know my grandmother played the guitar and the piano, and they made their own music, you know, which is not, I mean, that's way cool. I mean, they had live music. But there was no, you know, stereos or anything like that. Medical science. One thing that we definitely take for granted we go to the hospital and the doctor, you know, for anything now. I mean, or, well, some people do. You know, back in the day, they didn't go to the doctor until they, you know, they thought they were going to die. I mean, it had to be pretty bad. And you know, my mom still kind of has that same mentality. You know, she won't go to the doctor if she's just got a little ache or pain, you know, or something, you know, headache or whatever. She's got to have a pretty serious problem. And she's 87 years old before she'll go to the doctor. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of that way. I don't just go at the drop of a hat, but you know, these days, every time somebody, like if your kid acts weird, we'll take him to the doctor because he must be something wrong with his head or his brain, you know, all the syndromes they have today. And I believe, you can disagree with me if you want, but I believe a lot of this is inventions by the pharmacy companies. And I won't go on into any more detail, but a lot of what we give our kids is questionable in my mind as to what the best thing for them would be. These things didn't just suddenly start showing up, all of a sudden until, anyway, I'll go on. I digress. Food. No refrigeration. They did finally have ice boxes, and as I mentioned before, they had they put their milk, which came out of a cow, by the way, not the grocery store, their butter, which also came out of a cow, and you know, they'd store it down in a box. They had it at the spring to keep it cool, and of course it was just cool, so I mean it was, you had to drink it and use it. You couldn't just leave it in there for a week like you can today with a modern refrigerator. Refrigeration was invented around 1854. Frigidaire introduced the first self-contained unit in 1923. Introduction of Freon expanded the market in the 1930s. But my grandmother, you know, she used to make pies and tea cakes and stuff like that from ingredients that they grew on the farm. Their meat was basically, pork, hog meat that was smoked in the smokehouse. It was put in salt to cure it and to preserve it, and smoked in the smokehouse. And now they did have things, you know, they'd have to go to the store for salt and flour and things like that. My dad would go and get candy when he had a little bit of money. They had things like that back then, but it was not a luxury. My mother actually, she don't know how in the world they even lived because they were pretty poor. And her and her cousin had to sneak and get an egg in the morning before her grandmother got up to get to eat an egg, because usually they were just eating biscuits and gravy and other whatever other vegetables might be that they could grow themselves. So, you know, like I said, things were a lot different then. Social programs now. This is not a thing, but it's just some things that I think we kind of take for granted. You know, my grandmother on my mother's side, she took care of a bunch of little kids. By the time she was 12 years old, she had a baby on her hip, you know, just like a mama. And I don't know how many she had, but they had a big family, and she was the oldest. And so she basically helped raise those kids. My grandfather on my daddy's side, his father died when he was about 12 years old, and he was actually working, you know, at the mill, the cotton mill or whatever, to help support the family. And then regarding, on the other end of the spectrum, the elderly parents, you know, like your parents or whatever, they didn't go to a nursing home. They stayed with you. I mean, that was just, you know, your family. You might have three generations of family in one house. Real quick, we're about out of time, but just the obvious, you know, transportation. You know, we got cars. We jump in, go where we want to. When my mom and dad were growing up, they were still using horse and wagons. The reason I say that, I mean, this was just one generation ago. Commercial air travel was actually coming along in the 20s, believe it or not, and then, you know, it wasn't a big thing, but, you know, there wasn't that many commercial airports around, and then, you know, I would have thought, I would have thought, you know, watching, now this is just kind of going sideways here, watching the Jetsons on the cartoons in the mornings, that, you know, by now, that was when I was a little kid, we'd have flying cars by now. So I'm sure we do, we have things that fly, but not like it was in the Jetsons where you can fold it up in a briefcase. But anyway, we got to go. I appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you next week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and tell everybody about it that you know. We'll be back next week. See ya.